The title of this message is Behold. Behold. That word in Scripture is in the Scriptures countless of times. And what that speaks to us about is that attention. Whenever you see that word, behold, from here on out, think of it, attention. There's something coming that they really want you to understand. The Holy Spirit wants you to understand and wants you to glean from the Scriptures. So with that, if you'd open your Bibles and turn with me to Psalm 121, my text will be in verse 4, but we're going to read the whole psalm. It's only 8 verses. That's Psalm 121. The title of this message is Behold. Psalm 121, verse 1. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, attention, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil, and he shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence comes my help. Now these eyes do not just speak of natural eyes, but spiritual eyes, as we know. It seems that there are two different speakers in this psalm. It is the same person, but he has two different mindsets as the psalm progresses. Have you ever started a conversation with yourself, and in the midst you realize and answer your own question? In this psalm, the first person asks a question, and the second person declares a truth. The first person wants to know, where is my help coming from? And the second person knows exactly who to turn to in the day of trouble. Now, it's the same person. The difference is not who the individual is, but he was reminded of something when he realized when trouble times had come, who he could rely on. Isaiah tells us what kind of God this is. He says, this is the God who measures the waters in the hollow of his hand. That means he holds all the oceans in the palm of his hand, and the heavens he's measured with the span of his fingers. That means from the thumb to the fingertip. He can measure all that you see in the skies above you. He has weighed the mountains in a scale and the hills in a balance. Behold, attention. The nations are nothing but a drop in the bucket to him. Isaiah 40, 21 and following. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. He uses this planet as his footstool. So lift up your eyes on high. Behold, attention. Attention to who has created these things. He is our God who gives power to the weak. He is the one that gives might to those who need it. Isaiah 40:30 says, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Behold, attention. This is our God. This is who we see. This is who we look to. This is our God. The writer of this psalm was saying that he isn't relying on anyone or anything. He was looking beyond the hills. We must lift up our eyes above the hills towards the heavens. The writer of this psalm did not depend upon the powers of this earth or upon the strength of the hills. Our help is in God, in His power and goodness, in His wisdom and grace. And from Him we must expect everything to come. In Job 42:5, it says, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eyes see thee. I see you. What did Job signify by this? He used a common figure of speech. He meant that unbelief occasioned by self-righteousness had now been dispelled, and faith sees God as glorious, and he was a living reality to him. Psalm 25:15 says, mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, which means faith is constantly in exercise. Of Moses, it was said that he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Hebrews 11:27 tells us. That is, his heart was sustained through faith, being occupied with the Lord. Our Lord said of Abraham, in John 8:56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. This means that faith looked forward to the day of Christ's humiliation and his exaltation. Then Paul was commissioned unto the Gentiles to open our eyes and to turn us from darkness unto light, and from the power of Satan unto God, in Acts 26:18. This was the divine instrument of our conversion through the preaching of this word, the word of faith. Maybe the writer of this psalm meant the hills on which the temple was built, Mount Moriah, and the holy hill of Zion, maybe, where the Ark of the Covenant and the truth and the altars were. I will have my eyes to the presence and seek the presence of my God, his presence by his promises. When he was at a distance, the psalmist, maybe he looked towards the sanctuary where his help comes from, the word, and by prayer, and from this tabernacle that he was looking upon. We must comfort ourselves in God when our difficulties and dangers are the greatest. How do we do that? How do we do that? It is as we study his word by prayer through the Holy Spirit. God himself has undertaken to be our protector. The Lord will keep us, it says in verse 5 of this text. Whatever charge he gives his angels to keep us, he is not discharged himself. It is his infinite wisdom and design and infinite power that works the safety of those that have put themselves under God's protection. The shepherd of the flock is the shepherd of every sheep, every one of us. And he will take care not to have even one little one should even perish. He is a wakeful and watchful keeper. He that keepeth Israel is he that keepeth us. He shall never slumber nor sleep. He is never weary. Why is it that he never sleeps or slumbers? So that we can have rest. We can rest. He keeps us. He's never weary. He not only does not sleep, but he does not so much as slumber. He not only protects us, but he refreshes us through his word. That's the only place that we find that refreshment today. His word is my shade. I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I am as close to him as the shadow. He is my shelter from the scorching heat He is the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Look at the word behold in verse 4. That word is meant to attract our attention. In Psalm 123:2, it says, behold, attention. Behold, as the eyes of the servant look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until he have mercy upon us. It is God's word that bids us to behold. He says to us, he's never left anything out of his word. Never. It's the word of God. It's there for us. Therefore, when we see this word, behold, we can rest assured there's something worth noting. There's something worth examining and considering. There's something worth remembering. In these verses, he asks for the use of our eyes by saying, behold, which is as though God is saying to us, I'm going to tell you about my eyes, which never slumber. Therefore, look and see, for you shall find them ever open for you, watchful over you. He wants us to see with joy how the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. So our spiritual eyes should be unto the Lord our God, and our ears should be open to receive his teaching and to learn his commands. Behold, attention! He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Think for a moment. God's eyes never grow weary of his people. Never. Maybe a mother sometimes is glad that she can put her children to bed and have a little quiet time for herself. She may grow weary even of their pretty ways, and she's willing to let them go out of her sight for a while to sleep. But the Lord never grows weary of his people. The God of infinite patience, he bears with such a family as us. Any one of us might exhaust our patience of 100 Jobs rolled into one. That's sometimes me. Think of those eyes that closed upon the cross at Calvary and then opened again on the resurrection morning. They're like bright stars, those eyes that from the heights of heaven, they've looked down upon the redeemed with indescribable delight of love. Those eyes never grow weary. They never grow weary of us, his chosen ones. Our Lord Jesus has such joy in his people. He's not weary of us. He's not. There's one meaning of his never slumbering and sleeping that I've described to you. It is a great marvel that God should always fix his eyes upon us, isn't it? But I think it is even a greater marvel that you and I should ever be brought to fix our eyes upon the Lord. In him only. For us to look upon God is a work of sovereign grace. I think that both looks are to be regarded as a miracle of mercy. His look upon us and our look to him. So behold, attention. I wonder whether it's possible for you and I to ever reach such a height of consecration to God, or to be able to truly use such language as we read in our text. Yes, it's possible. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 9:33, as it is written, behold, attention. Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth, believeth on him shall not be ashamed or confounded. Just believe. Then Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, 51, behold, attention. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. We're going to be changed. And we are being changed from glory to glory. Then again, in 2 Corinthians 5, 17, Paul says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, attention. Behold, all things are become new. Behold, attention. You're brand new. John said in 1 John 3, 1, behold, attention. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Jesus is saying, behold, attention. I love you. All the way through. My eyes are ever on you, he says, to give you my best. Will you take it? Will you not place your eyes upon me? Will you not feast upon the word that I've given you? How? Just read one verse, and then another one, and another one. Let the Holy Spirit guide us into the utmost reverence of seeking and learning God's will and the ways in his word. I think of the blessed doctrine of Christ crucified. But then much more, I think about his resurrection. For in that we have eternal life, which we feed upon as the hungry man devours the bread given to him. He does not care whether he ever knows the baker's name. Still, I must say, it is a hard thing to get men to see God today. They look around everywhere, but to get them to fix their eyes upon God and his word, this is work. And this is difficulty. We cannot get men to fix their eyes upon God. They look to the natural world with its wondrous beauty. God painted every flower and colored the clouds with the glory of the setting sun. He is everywhere, and yet men walk through this great house of nature, and as fools as they are, they say there's no God. It is hard to get men to see God today. We put the Bible into their hands, and they read it, and are interested in their stories, but they do not see God in it. As God has said, behold, attention, I have more for you. Wisdom comes to their very doors with marvels, yet they say that they do not see God's hand in anything that happens to them. This is the woe of woes to me. We cannot get men to look to the Lord. I'm trying to tell to you this plainly and to force it home on men's hearts, women's hearts, and consciences as God might help me. And yet at the end of this sermon, often the hearers only remark, how did you like him? It does not matter at all whether you like me. Is that what we came to hear? But behold, attention! Does it please the Lord Jesus Christ, and is the word working effectually in our hearts? Let our eyes of our hearts be turned to the Lord Jesus solely. In our text, there are dwellers in the valleys. They're subject to many conditions, but we must remain in the uplands and to undertake a climb to the mountains where our help comes. We're seated in heavenly places in Christ. To remain below, we become prey. We must escape, and the surest method to fly to the strongholds upon the mountains of the heavenlies is the Word of God. But what a climb it is as we look up. Our redemption draws nigh. We long to be upon the summit, but we can sing a choice sonnet along the way. Look to the Lord who sees all and who pours down relief for his people. Behold, attention, he does not slumber, for he's not asleep. Behold, attention, let us lift up our eyes with hope, expectancy, desire, and confidence in his word. Now, Satan will endeavor to keep our eyes upon our sorrows that we may be distressed and discouraged. Behold, attention, lift up our eyes to the eternal hills, for the Lord Jesus Christ will lift up our hearts also. The purposes of God, the divine attributes, the immutable promises, the covenant ordered in all things ensure the wisdom, the predestination, the proven faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ is with us here now. It is our determination that we will not be blindfolded, but we will lift up our eyes to the Lord in his word by the Holy Spirit. The writer of this psalm inquires, whence comes my help? He says, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. What we need is help, don't we? Powerful, efficient, and constant help. We need a very present help in this time of trouble. What a mercy that we have it in our God. Our hope is in the Lord. Help is on the road, and we will fail not, and we will not fail to reach us. It will not fail to reach us in due time. For he who sends it to us was never known to be late. He's never late. He will sooner destroy heaven and earth than to permit his people to be destroyed. He will not allow your foot to be moved, though the paths of life are dangerous and difficult. Yet we stand fast, for the Lord will not permit our feet to slide. And if he will not allow that, if our feet are kept, we can be sure that our head and our heart will be preserved also. Those who have God as their keeper shall be safe from all the perils along the way. Our feet shall not move, and they shall not be moved. Our feet shall move in heavenly progress, and we shall never be overthrown, never. He who keeps you will not slumber. We need him by day and by night, and not a single step can be safely taken under any other guardian's eye but his. God is the bodyguard of his people, and when dangers are all around us, we are safe. For our Lord is awake always and will not permit us to be moved. His watchful eyes are never closed. Israel fell asleep. They fell asleep, but God was awake. The word keeps is a very interesting word. It's also full of meaning. God keeps us as a rich man keeps his treasures, and as a captain keeps the city with a garrison. He keeps us. This verse affirms this, lo, he shall not slumber, nor he shall never sleep. The Lord is your keeper. He is the Lord who had been spoken of by pronouns in the previous two verses, but now he's distinctly named. The Lord is your keeper. What a mine of meaning lies here, for this sentence is full of gold. And when coined and stamped with the king's name, it bears all our expenses between our birthplace on earth and our rest in heaven. Here's the glorious person of the Lord assuming a gracious office and fulfilling it in his own person. The Lord is your keeper. This is a firm assurance of revelation that even in this hour he will keep us. Can we appropriate this divine declaration for the journey through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil? The Lord is your shade upon your right hand, it says. A shade gives protection from burning heat and from glaring light. We cannot bear too much blessings of divine grace, can we? He will bear a shield before us and guard the right hand which we fight the good fight of faith with. When the blazing sun pours down its burning beams upon our heads, the Lord himself will intervene to shade us. He places us in comfort and safety. The Lord at your right hand shall smite the enemy. God is as near to us as our shadow, and we are safe in him forevermore. The sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. No one but the Lord could shelter us from these tremendous forces that are upon us. These two great lights rule by day and by night, but we shall labor and rest in safety under them. There are dangers of the light and of the dark, and in both and from both we shall be preserved. Spiritually speaking, this is from the evils and adversity that we face every day. That word evil in this psalm, that evil there means that they want to destroy anything that's good, any goodness. Isn't that what's happening in the world today? They want to destroy any goodness that's out there. Day and night make up all time, don't they? So his ever-present protection never ceases. God has made a new sun. He has not made a new sun or a fresh moon for his chosen. They exist under the outward circumstances as everyone else does. We exist under the same moon and sun as anyone else in this world. God has not made a new sun or a fresh moon for his chosen, but we exist under the same outward circumstances as everyone else. The saints are enriched by the power of God, though. For us, the Lord has given the wonderful things brought forth by the sun and that which is put forth by the moon. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. That word evil, again, is anything that wants to destroy any goodness that's there. They want to destroy that. And the Lord shall preserve us from all evil, or keep you from all evil. God is the soul keeper of our soul. He keeps it. Our soul is kept from the world, the flesh, and the devil. Kept for holier and greater things. Kept in the love of God. Kept unto the eternal kingdom and glory that's to come. What can harm the soul that is kept by the Lord? Just let him keep it. Let him keep it. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. When we go out in the morning to labor and we come home in evening time to rest, God shall keep us always. When we go out in youth and begin life, or we come to the end of this life on earth, we shall experience the same keeping. Our exits and our entrances are under one protection. One. Three times we have the phrase in this psalm, the Lord will keep. The Lord shall keep. as if the sacred Trinity has sealed the word and made it sure. What should we fear? What should we fear? For we have such a threefold flight of arrows that protect us. What anxiety can survive this triple promise? This keeping is eternal and continuing from this time forth and forevermore. We the church are assured of everlasting security forevermore. The final perseverance of saints is ensured, and the glorious immortality of the believer is guaranteed by the blood of the Lamb. Under the protection of such a promise, we may go on our own journeys each and every day without fear and trembling. We can undertake every battle without dread. None are so safe as those who God keeps. The Lord will keep us as long as time endures, and that is forever. Forever. Glory be unto the keeper of my soul, who I honor, and we're honored under that title as the keeper of my soul. It is our growing sense of weakness which makes us feel more deeply than ever our need of being kept. We need him to keep us. For when we are weak, then I am strong. As Paul tells us, therefore I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So behold, attention, the Lord will never leave us, nor he'll ever, never, ever forsake us. I hope this has been a blessing.